Okay, good morning. Last week, and actually for the past 2 weeks, we were reading the first four verses of the first chapter of the epistle of Peter. And how in those first four verses, Peter explained that through God's great mercy, that we have been born again to a living hope. And that there was this tremendous grace and love of God that gives us that hope. And that not only that hope is, it's a guaranteed hope. It's a guarantee that it cannot be taken away. Our inheritance is there and it is there safe and cannot be removed. But Peter then cautions us with something. And he will tell us in these verses and those that follow that although we are to greatly rejoice in this living hope, rejoice in the fact that this inheritance can never be taken away, it can never fade, it can never spoil, but he says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Isn't that a bit of a reality today? That we all suffer trials? Trials are around us. The world is becoming more chaotic. Things are becoming more difficult. We see the destruction of morals all around us. And we as individuals also suffer trials. And so then Peter goes on and says, well, there's a reason for these trials. He says, these have come so that your proven genuineness of your faith being proven, becomes more valuable. It says, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire. So that it may result, and these three words have already been spoken today, these may result in praise, glory, and honor when Christ is revealed. Who's this? They may be our, when Christ is revealed, our proven genuineness of faith, okay, will be revealed. Will be resulting in praise, glory, and honor. And then it goes on in verse 8 and 9. It says, even though you've not seen him, you love him, meaning Jesus Christ. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Having received Jesus Christ in our life, okay, we are receiving the end result of our faith. And that end result is salvation and to be with Christ forever. But Peter said earlier, this comes with trials. This comes with trials. I don't know if you're a person who likes to read a lot of the writings of John MacArthur. John MacArthur has written many, many, many commentaries, quite famous in many different ways, has a website called Grace to You. And he also wrote a book, or he has written a book of devotions called Drawing Near. Unfortunately, John MacArthur passed away this past week. And there's a lot of memorials and things that remember him on the website. And of course, he will be remembered for many, many, many years to come. But in this book, Drawing Near, when it talks about these verses, he says, you might suffer untold heartache and persecution for your faith in Christ. But amid the most severe trials, God wants you to know profound joy. He says, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 to 9, identifies five elements of your life, your Christian life, that should bring you joy amongst your trials. Five things that he says, John MacArthur says, should bring us some joy. And we have to define the difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is something that happens. It comes, it goes. But joy, once you receive it, continues. And he's saying here, the first joy, or the first one of these five, is that your inheritance, which will never fade or spoil, has been protected. It will never go away. And we should be joyful for that. The second one, he says that, or part of that, and we can emphasize it in Ephesians chapter 1, he says, although, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal. This is the protected inheritance that John is talking about. You were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit. What does it do? It guarantees our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. The second part of, or the second one of these five, is that we have been given the joy of a proven faith. That faith, as it said in verse 7, is more precious than gold, because when we go through a trial, it proves and strengthens our faith. In 1 Peter 5, verse 10, Peter again writes, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered, after we've gone through these trials, a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." So the first one is that we have this protected inheritance. The second one is that we have a proven faith. In the book of James, though, he also cautions us, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face a trial of many kinds," and there are many kinds, "because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." So part of the reasons we go through a trial is a test and a solidifying of our faith. Also in verse 7, as we read, it says that we are promised in our future, we are promised praise, glory, and honor. That's something that we can look forward to. In 1 Peter 5, verse 4, he says, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." So our future is a future of glory. It's a future of being with Christ, but it's one of praise, glory, and honor. But that's part of going through a trial. This is an end result. Another one that he says is that we have a personal fellowship with Christ. In verse 8 of first, we already read this verse, but I'm going to read it again. He says, "Though you've not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy." So we have this, you know, as MacArthur writes, he said, you have these five things. You have protected inheritance. You have a proven faith. We have a promise of honor, glory, and praise. We have this personal fellowship with Christ when we go through a trial. And the fifth one is that we have a present deliverance. That's just a fancy way of saying we are saved. We are saved. For the message of the cross, I know, is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, is the power of God. What is the power of God? The message of the cross. and we are saved. It's that promised, that present deliverance that is given to us by grace today. Those are the five things he talked about, and they were all related to just those few words in those few scriptures about going through a trial. But let's be real. Trials are not easy. Going through a trial is very difficult. I was reading an article by a man by the name of Dr. Roger Barrier. I don't know. He writes for Crossway quite often. And he was asked a question. And we've all heard this question asked. In fact, books have been written about it. But the question that he was asked was, why do bad things happen to good people? Interesting. Why do bad things, why do trials, why does suffering happen to good people? I could offhandedly say, well, nobody's good, okay? But, and that partially, by the way, is true. But no, the purpose of that sentence is that we who are striving as Christians and as believers who are trying to do everything we possibly can in our relationship with Christ to do the right thing, why do bad things happen to believers? Why does this happen? And he wrote back and he said, okay, I can give you some answers. I can't give them all to you. But the first one, which we all should know, is we live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. Satan took control of Adam and Eve, and suffering entered into this world. But the good news is God planned a plan of restoration, and that Jesus Christ would redeem the world, and he would recover the world, ending eventually all suffering and peace. Ending suffering and bring peace, excuse me. But until that event happens, there will still be bad things happening on this earth. There will be trials. Trials that we as a nation will go through, trials as individuals we will go through, trials even as a church we will go through. The second point he tried to make is, look, we live in a fallen world, but it's also these trials that come on us are actually a way of preparing us for our future with Jesus Christ. In the book of Hebrews, bear with me as I read these verses, it says, and it encourages, it says, endure hardship as discipline, because God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. But God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time. That's true. Okay. And I'm sure we can all experience that. No discipline is pleasant at the time, but very painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. This is difficult to understand, that Christ, God, does provide trials to, as it says here, to discipline us. We will suffer sometimes. But I'd like to make a point. If we suffer as a Christian, we have those five things that MacArthur told us about. We have the hope, we have the faith, we have the guarantee of our salvation. But for a non-believer, their suffering is for nothing. Their suffering is for nothing. There is no result. There is no anything to look forward to. There is no purpose. Unfortunately, the suffering that we go through has a purpose. It's preparing us to be with Christ for eternity. See, God doesn't promise to remove all suffering, but he has promised to help us find victory in the midst of suffering through the power of Jesus Christ, and to give us strength. Paul wrote about this. Paul, of all people, when we read what happens to Paul and all of the places that he went and all of the suffering he went through, he writes in Philippians chapter 4, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Paul says that when we go through a trial, we are given strength. So this seems very sort of gloomy, doesn't it? We have to go through trials, and we have to go through suffering. And then you start to think about, well, what kind of trials are there? Well, there is going to be the trials of just the daily life, maybe our finances or our protection, or maybe just feeling insecure. Sometimes there's the physical and verbal persecution that comes against us. Sometimes it's relationships that bring us trials. Sometimes there's physical or emotional pain. Some of those include, you know, we may not call it a trial, but we want to see our loved ones who are yet to become believers to be believers. Because that in itself is a trial. You want to see those who you love to be receiving Jesus Christ in their lives as well. So how do we get through? Oh, there is one other reason we get trials. Satan likes to attack us, right? Because he doesn't want us to live for eternal life. He wants to steal us away. So Satan will do whatever he can, whether it's trapping us, lies, deceits, just making life difficult. Those come as trials too. So what do we do? What do we do when we get into a trial? What do we do? And I've got a few things here to talk about. The very, very first one is to pray. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. In our time of trial, the first thing we should do is go to Jesus Christ and pray. That is the first thing. Because God hears and answers our prayers. As some of you know, some of us go through some trials that are pretty difficult. And some of those trials last for a long period of time. So when it comes to prayer, what do you do? Well, you ask for strength in a trial. You ask God, give us the strength. Help me to be strong. Help me to get through this. The second part of prayer is you pray constantly. You give the problem to God. You give say, God, here's a burden. I put my burdens on you. Because you see, there is comfort in praying to God. There's comfort in reading his word. There is comfort in sometimes just being alone with God and sharing with him what you're going through. One of the things that we learn when we go through this is that when we go through a trial, we shouldn't be asking, well, why me or what now? But you pray and say, God, what am I to learn? What am I how am I to grow from this? Show me how I can increase my faith. You can ask for mercy. Sometimes we look at these things and we say, okay, God, just give us the relief. But God says, no, hang on, you have to be patient. But when you're patient, your prayers increase and your faith deepens. The second part of getting through a trial is to go to God's word. The book of Psalms is a place where you can find mercy and compassion from God. It's a place where God will share with you the emotions you're feeling and will lead you on a path of comfort and healing. He will hear, he will answer, he will teach, he will give you some unfounded strength by his word. By his word. If you read a lot of the Psalms of David, David is crying out, David is asking, David is also joyful. David hears, has his prayers answered. But if we read through all of the Bible, there are many people who went through some very severe trials, not just David, but Isaiah, Jeremiah, Jonah, Nahum, Joseph. The list goes on and on. All of these people went through some very, very severe trials. And they're all written for us as a reminder that God rescued each and every one of them. They prayed. In Psalm 9, verse 9, it says, "The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble." When we are going through a trial, go to the Psalms, go to the Lord in prayer. There's over 120 passages in the Psalms itself, in the Psalms themselves, that are used for comfort and for encouragement. It's one of the first places to go when we're suffering in a trial. We can be comforted, we can be encouraged on a daily basis. So it's prayer, then it's God's word. The third one is, don't face the trials on your own. Meet with people, other believers, encourage one another. Don't try to face a trial by ourselves and not share it, because that will just turn into bitterness. It just wells up inside a person. It's almost poison. Share the trial with others. We have a lot of examples in our own church, and it's such a blessing that we have, that when somebody in this church suffers a trial of any kind, it's amazing how each and every one of us, and you in particular, has gone to help others, who has shared in the grief and in the mourning, shared in somebody who has a family or a relative who is sick, somebody who is going through some other kind of very difficult situation. We pray for each other. We share and commiserate. We grieve and we mourn together. That's all part of getting through a trial. We need that support from each other. And Second Corinthians, it says, "Praise be to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles." Yes, God will comfort us through our prayer and reading his word and so on. So that why? So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. We may go through a trial and it's very, very difficult, but when it's over, that experience we can share with somebody else who is also going through a trial. I think I shared with you about this person who had this extremely difficult disease called rheumatoid arthritis, and it took extreme pain throughout his whole body that lasted for almost a year and a half. And it took all that first year of him going through this for the doctors to find pain relief. But he endured it, and he got through it. And he's shared it, and he's an example to so many others, okay, by his ability to just be strong and receive the strength from God, so that now he has able to comfort others. He's gone to others and said, "Look, here's what I've gone through, and here's what it took." Share your pain. That's basically what it is. That's what it's about. Comfort others. Yes, there is. The fourth thing is, if there is something that's really difficult and there is professional help available, use it. If we break a leg, we go to the hospital and doctors will fix the broken leg. All right? So if there is something where you know you can get professional, I use that word professional carefully, professional qualified help to get you through a difficult situation, then do so. Do so. But what's the first thing you do? You pray. You pray to God and say, God, I'm putting this into your hands and I'm asking, okay, for you to help. Show me the way, give me the leading, give me the guidance, okay? And if there's professional help, inspire that person who's going to give me the help to help me through this trial. There's a fifth one. And I found this out of my own personal experience that really helps. And that is to write a journal. I'm not talking about great big long essays every morning or whatever. I know a lot of people love to write journals. I think they're very important and they're very helpful. But why not write a journal, even if it's one sentence, of what am I being taught by this trial? What am I learning? And maybe you don't have it every day. Maybe as you go through this trial or this difficulty, you start to realize, and God answers back to you through his word or in meeting somebody else, but things start to gel and you start to realize, what am I being taught? And you can write these things down. You see, there are many lessons that we can learn through by going through tough times. The most important one is that we are suffering for a purpose. I'm going to share with you just a couple of things that I personally have gone through. And I would imagine, I hope others have as well. As you go through a trial, here are some of the things you may learn. Here are some of the things that one day you realize and you will write them down. You learn to cry out to the Lord. You learn that God's timing is perfect and he will answer prayer. You learn that you can put your burdens on Christ. You can learn that by sharing your grief with others, there's a value of fellowship. That's why it's amazing to me where people say, well, I don't need to go to church anymore. I don't need to gather anymore. I can just watch my program on Sunday mornings. But there's a value of having others around. There's comfort, as I said, in God's word. Eventually, calm does come, the end of a storm. See, one thing that we learn in a trial is that we are being rescued for God's glory, not rescued to bring relief to ourselves. When we go through a trial, we can see God's hand at work in our lives. One of the ones I wrote down is asking for mercy being selfish? When there are so many others who must be in much more worse, difficult situations than the trial I'm going through? Why would God want to respond to me as I go through a trial instead of someone else who's going through a much greater trial? The answer is very simple, because he cares for all of his sheep. Your trial is just as important to God as to anybody else's. The other one that you learn is, well, what trials are other people going through that they're not sharing, where you can help? The other one is that all trials come to an end at the return of Jesus Christ. We learn in a trial that Jesus cares for us. He always answers. He always gives us peace. He always gives us comfort. So we started this message with this amazing point that Peter made, that we are by God's mercy given a new birth. We're born again to a living hope. Our living hope is a guarantee, but we are to go through trials. Peter understood it. Paul understood it. I'd like to read in Romans chapter 8. And interestingly enough, that came up this morning on my text message from John. It says, Romans chapter 8, verse 18, I consider, this is Paul, I consider that our present sufferings or trials are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. Whatever we're going to go through is nothing in comparison. Even though each day we feel it, we are able to get the comfort from God. We can go to prayer. We can go to His Word. We can share it with others. Because as Paul says, our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. There are many lessons that we will learn as we go through tough times. The tough times, I believe, that are ahead of us are even going to become more severe. We will have to learn how to get through those tough times. We will learn through our suffering that we are being prepared for an eternal life with Jesus Christ. And that's our purpose. That is His purpose for calling us. That yes, part of that calling requires suffering, because He is shaping us and preparing us to be with Him in a world where there is no pain, where there is no suffering, where there is true peace and true love. But He is preparing us for those tough times, and He's preparing us for the good times. The most important thing is that there is being a purpose that's being done, and we are part of that purpose. Otherwise, we're suffering for nothing. We're suffering for nothing. If you're a non-believer and you are going to suffer, which is going to be happening, or it happens in our world today, you just have to look at the news. People are suffering, and if they're non-believers, why? But if you've received Christ in your life, yes, there are trials. Yes, there is suffering, but there is a reason for it. He is preparing us to be with Him. What a glorious thing. And what is it? And when we do receive that time, or, you know, it will be with a crown, and it with praise, and with glory, and with honor. I just want to go through the very last part of this verse in 1 Peter. Though you've not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Those are us, okay? For you are receiving the end result. We are receiving, by going through times of trial and suffering, we are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We are to be saved. We are receiving the salvation of our souls. You know, it's not an easy topic and subject. Nobody likes to think that we are to be going through trials and suffering. Nobody likes to see the suffering that's going on in this world today. Oh, wouldn't it be amazing if Christ could come tomorrow and bring it all to an end? But in the meantime, how do we get through it? God has given us a way. That way is to follow Christ. That way is to pray. That way is to be in His Word. That is to be with others, believers and fellow, and to fellowship and to share. For you are receiving the result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Great God, our Father in heaven, we come before you and we just thank you that you are there, that you are the divine sovereign, and that all that is happening in this world today is, you are aware of it, you know of it, and you have a plan for it. And you have a plan for each and every one of us. And in that plan, we can look forward to that with living hope, of that inheritance that you have prepared for us. But we also know that in your plan, we are to be prepared to be with you, to be shaped, to be prepared so that we can be with Jesus Christ for eternal life. And that there are things that we must learn. And then we learn those by sometimes going through difficulties. And that you've given us a way to go through those difficulties. That we can ask you, show us what we are to learn. Guide us in our prayers. Inspire us by your word so that we are strengthened in our faith so that we can look forward to the salvation that is to come. We thank you, great God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being in us so that we can get through these difficult times, not just now, but those that are ahead of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.